This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. Welcome back. We've got Steven on the keys over there.
It's the learning game.
Yeah. Well, he's being trained by a 12-year-old.
Who doesn't really know what he's doing and is wearing a Yankee hat and Steeler jacket. So there's a lot happening right now behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, selfishly, I love the Joey Harrington intro song.
Agreed.
And I sing along to it.
Yeah, and now it's not here.
And the guys missed it today. That's okay.
Can we'll get it in the second segment?
Yeah,
perhaps?
Maybe the second segment. Yeah, I think that's right.
I would like to hear it.
That's right. But anyway.
The other day I was listening to the Fall Guy theme song, and it puts me in a good mood. It's the same, those 80s themes, they just work.
Well, I mean, the man writes the song, writes and performs the song.
The least
we can do is play the damn thing.
Agreed.
Joey, can you read me?
What the hell just happened?
What? What did you say?
I said, what the hell just happened there?
Well, They didn't play the open. We got Steven, who we're very happy to have. He's our new producer. He screwed up.
It's on me.
Steven?
Yeah.
Steven, he looks like a Steven. Steven, let me tell you why I suck as a salesman. Let's say I got this guy. He's even remotely interested in buying something. That's why I get all excited. Like, Joe, nobody? Nothing?
You text me
that
today.
I sent that to you earlier.
I know.
And I got nothing.
Dude,
I got crickets.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh.
Suk doesn't know. He's
my
the
pretty new pet. I love my pet. You're naughty. It's a naughty pet. And that's when I take my pet and
what
I go,
is that?
That's Chris.
You know what he's
talking about? Chris Farley.
From what?
Tommy Boy.
I killed it. I killed my possible sale. That's when people like me, Rob, you and me, Rob, we got to move on.
Yeah. It's the chicken.
Nothing?
It's the old chicken wings.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we got the meat lovers pizza in the trunk. We're good. I can turn the fire back on if you want to.
Yeah, you can't. Rob, movie quotes on Rob. You're just.
Yeah.
It's.
I just don't. Yeah. I think it's amazing how you are one and Suka's one too. I think that's an amazing ability that you guys have to remember.
Spin in and out of them?
Yeah, you guys remember all these lines. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Steven. It was Helen. I mean, let's be honest here. It wasn't. But you threw Steven out there today. I was like, Steven, who's Steven? Steven, you look like a Steven.
I knew where he was going with it. There's nothing worse, though, than when you have a great one and it goes on deaf ears. A little bit of you dies inside.
I got straight crickets this afternoon. It's like, hey, we got a new producer, Steven, and hey, we good, and nothing. I got nothing back.
Yeah, I didn't I forgot to respond to it.
Joe, you will appreciate the worst one. It made me
like when I extended an invite to the sing-along to Suk. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I would like to point out I did not get an invite. I was never invited. That never made it to me. So yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, you weren't here.
He could have texted.
He could have.
Didn't. The worst one I ever had is
what
I was.
A jerk this guy is.
I know. It made me question my whole relationship. We were in Mexico, and down in outside of PV is the jungle that I guess they filmed Predator in. And me and the missus were hiking through the jungle, and I was dropping Predator quotes because I told her, I was like, this is the Predator jungle. And I got cut on I don't know. There's like a barbed wire thing that we kind of had to climb over. And I got a cut and I was bleeding. And I walked for like 10 minutes waiting for her to notice that she could say, you're bleeding. And then I could turn and I went, I ain't got time to bleed. And she responded with, oh, what are you talking about? Let's ban. I'm like, no, no.
Say the right thing.
Predator, say the right. She just looked at me. She's like, what? You're bleeding. I was like, damn it. It's like I was waiting for like 10 minutes. I was like, she has to understand. She's gonna remember. She didn't, and a little bit of me died inside.
He has no response.
Deep breath. That's all you can do is just like take a deep breath and reset and say, you know what? Not everybody thinks the way that we do, and that's what makes the world so great.
But a little bit, it hurts.
That is what makes the world
hurt. It does.
By the way, P1 Augie is in. He says one of his favorite all-time memories at University of Oregon is Joey quoting Tommy Boy to him on the front porch of Rennie's the night before your graduation.
I probably said the same damn line that I just said a minute ago.
You probably did. Well, fella, they are in the semis. Looked pretty good against Texas Tech, right? I mean, you know, pretty good.
Pretty good. That was the greatest defensive performance I've seen from an Oregon football team.
Yes.
Wow, it was. Really? And I was trying to think, like, those Haloti defenses were incredible. Like, and I'm sure there have been, you know, obviously there have been shutouts before, but, like, this was another level. This was dominant. This was, like, at no point was there ever even a moment where it was like, oh, this, even when Texas Tech was down in the red zone, I wasn't nervous. Like, yeah. This was as good an Oregon defensive performance as I have ever seen.
How much of that was Texas Tech's offense?
I would argue that Oregon's defense created Texas Tech's offense. Like, sure, did QB miss the ball? First interception. He missed a bit inside. Incredible break on that, on the route. But, I mean, I'm going back to the last interception. He completely baited him into throwing that ball. Right. I saw exactly what the quarterback was thinking. He was thinking, I've got man coverage. I've got pressed up top. I got a corner out coming over the top, and my outside guys are going to draw coverage, and I'm going to loft it over the top inside receiver on a linebacker for a touchdown. And he dropped right underneath it. Like, this was forced fumbles. This was corners making tackles on the edges. This is safeties driving up and meeting people in the hole. This was strips, you know, not strip sacks. You know, this was fumbles that land. Like, they created all of this. This wasn't Texas Tech being inept. This was created by an Oregon defense that played absolutely phenomenal.
I agree, but I do think two things can be true. And this was, I said going into it, I did not think Texas Tech's offense was very good at all. And I think those numbers were way overblown. That being said, Oregon's defense was phenomenal, but I thought from a game plan standpoint and from an execution standpoint, I thought Texas Tech was atrocious. And yes, you do have to give Oregon a lot of credit for forcing a lot of those. But there's a reason why Morton was crying on the sidelines in the third quarter. And some of those balls you just can't throw. You can't. Not when you're in playing for a national title. And on that play that you're talking about, the one in the corner of the end.
Which ball? Well, he can't throw the ball to the end zone. He made a massive mistake on the corner route to the end zone. I mean, the corner dropped underneath it, completely baited him.
Well,
and as somebody who has been baited in that exact same situation, I know what he was thinking. I know what he saw.
Well, the other one, too, that I'll and this is where I say it's not just on Morton. So the outside receiver. So we got a little 3x3. Going there on Oregon. So it does look, man, you got kind of a linebacker safety kind of hanging around there, but it does look 3-on-3. If you're that outside receiver, my God, he runs two steps and stops.
Stops, like, exactly. I mean, your job is to occupy the corner so that he can't do that.
I could not believe, it is 13-0. I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm like, it's 13-0, and you know that fade is coming. And that outside receiver, boy, if that guy didn't get an old-fashioned ass-chewing, and that's what I'm saying, like, top to bottom, it wasn't just on Morton. I don't know what Texas Tech's offense, I don't know if they just were demoralized at that point, but there were.
Okay, but who created the demoralization?
Oregon's defense. Right?
And that's my and that's my point, is Texas Tech didn't stink. Texas Tech didn't come in as the worst offense in college football.
No, they didn't.
Texas Tech was put into that mindset. Yeah. They were put into a place where they felt like they could not do anything because of the play of the Oregon defense. And yes, you're right. There were on any play in the second half, you could pick out a guy who was not giving you effort. Who was, you know, you go back into the film room and there's a loaf and there's a loaf.
It was shocking.
And there's a loaf.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that was created because of what Oregon did in the first half.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I think that's a fair statement.
Okay, well, let's talk about the offense then. How about that? We'll do that coming up next with our friend Joey Harrington here, courtesy Mons PDX on the Fan.
Waking up on Monday, and the coffee just can't quite wash away last night's six-pack of hams. Tuesday brings the promise of making things all right, but you still drive to work in your family's minivan. doctor calls on Wednesday, right before your flight, to talk about your colorectal exam. You're back to work on Thursday, and your boss is all uptight, 'cause you didn't push your best-selling brand. But now it's the Friday drive, and it's story time. Yes, it's story time. The one time a week when you can truly plan to kick back and listen to story time. Yes, it's story time. We're pushing it out on every airwave we can. We're on both 105.1 and 1080 The Fan. Part of The Fan's Global Sports Radio Network.
There it is.
That feels better.
It feels so much
there
better.
You go.
Joey, hello?
Hi.
Hello? We got you.
Rights have been wrong.
We got your open there. So,
hope yeah, I was listening. Yeah. I heard that.
Do you sing along with it?
Do I sing along with it? No, but I do like, oh man, I wish I would have had like a screen guard on the P for the pops. Or
yeah.
Like, I wonder
that.
Like... Yeah, and then I was like, well, I kind of did it all on my phone on, like, the GarageBand thing. I was like, man, there's a lot of echo. Like, maybe I could have done so I kind of sit there and critique
well,
it.
Well, maybe
but,
we
know,
need
like,
to reproduce it. Yeah. Let's reproduce it.
You know, the remix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remix. Ooh, we could bring in, like a band.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like we're
digressing.
I can be on the tambourine if you want. I'm just saying.
I'll do backup vocals.
Fair. Okay, you can hit the harmonies.
Yeah. So the offense, let's talk about the Oregon offense. I'm curious, as a man who played the position, about your thoughts on Dante Moore. Where do you think Dante Moore is on the learning curve of playing the quarterback position at a high level?
Frame that a little more for me, and let me ask a question back. Are we talking about in terms of his total potential, or are we talking about in terms of college football?
No, I think college football. I think where he is right now. I mean, I see good poise, but there's an experience there, and I want to see what you think when you watch him.
Well, yeah. I mean, you said I can't remember what the exact term is, college football journey or potential or where he is, and I immediately thought like, okay, is he like 75 out of 100 or like what can he turn into in the NFL? Look, what he did. What are we, week 8, week 9, when he was void of any wide receivers. Right, goes to the throw he made at Iowa, that the way he managed the game against Wisconsin, essentially like not throwing an incompletion in November. Like there was a maturity that happened. Right. We saw a potential. We saw, oh man, this guy could be really good at the beginning of the season. And then he had a stretch and was forced upon him, right? A lot of people, a lot of quarterbacks learn this over the course of a year or two, or they, hey, yeah, you get a little bit in week 2 and then you get some in week 7. He had a stretch there right in the middle of the season where he had to manage this team, right? And that's always got such a horrible connotation. You think, well, he's a game manager. That means he can't be explosive and he's not a good quarterback. No. Your number one job as a quarterback is to manage that offense, is to know what everybody out there is doing, is to know what your right guard is doing, to know what the slot receiver on the left side is doing, to know that I don't like the matchup of my running back chipping off the DN, to know that I got a 6'4" receiver on a 5'10" corner, and I like the matchup of throwing a fade over there. Like, to truly understand what everybody is doing, how it fits together, and then what you do to facilitate that. And sometimes that means not taking chances. Sometimes that means, and it's such an overused cliche, just taking what the defense gives you. And that's what he did for about, let's call it 3 or 4 weeks. And that's something that a lot of quarterbacks take years to learn. And in this game against Texas Tech, it absolutely paid dividends. Because you know what a lot of younger quarterbacks would do in this situation? They would have forced a ball. They would have tried to make a play on their own. They would have, instead of, I mean, how many times do we see him hitting the running back out of the backfield? Five-step drop, 1,001, 1,002, nope. Back late release, hits him in the flat. Like, did he get massive big plays? No, he didn't. But he was also, but he also didn't turn the ball over. He didn't give Texas Tech an opportunity to explode. He didn't make big plays, but he's also getting his head beat in for, you know, the probably say, you know, half of the first half. So where is he on his journey? I think he is on the verge of becoming somebody. And special isn't, you know, is too small of a word, right? If he comes back to college football next year, there is a very clear opportunity that he could win a national championship and a Heisman Trophy. That's the reality of what he is.
So,
and he could also leave right now and go to the NFL and be a potential top 10 pick and have a tremendous NFL career, right? So that's the question, is like, what is your, what are we comparing this against? What's the situation?
Well, I think we're what I had in my head was his ultimate college potential. In other words, leading to the question that you just brought up, and that is, if he were to come back, I guess my next question would be, in what ways would he be better? Like, what is the next
He'd
step?
He'd be explosive and efficient.
Yeah.
Okay. He would take those. He would, in games this season where, what was the final score at Iowa? 14 to 13 or something like
18,
that?
I mean, I want to say it was 18-16 off the top of my head.
18-16.
I mean, what?
18-16, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. Those types of games, he would grab it by the throat, and he would, like, there is a knowledge and a confidence. So I'm trying to think of how to best describe this. What he did extremely well for a month of the season is not make a mistake. He learned that my job here is to make sure we get to the other side. If he comes back to college football next year in those situations, he will have already said, now I know exactly how I'm going to make sure we get to the other side, and I'm going to throw this dagger down your throat right now. Game over. Thanks so much. Right? That's the difference. Is he had dagger moments this year, and he had efficient moments this year. To combine those all throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of a season, it would be surgical in what he would do next year.
I would like to see him, if he comes back, I would like to see the pocket presence get a little better. I think he's actually better out of the pocket than he is in the pocket. I would like to see him manipulate the pocket a little more. I'd like to see him use his legs a little bit more, because I do think he's a better athlete than people give him credit for. And
this is very Bo Nix-ish in what you're saying.
Yes.
Right now, there was a moment where he took a sack, and we're laying on the couch there, and you know, it's 9:17 in the morning on New Year's Day, and it's like, what the hell are we watching the Ducks for? And number 31, and forgive me, I can't remember the Texas Tech's D-end, comes off the end for like the 17th time.
Yep.
And instead of stepping forward in the pocket and letting him run by, Dante backed up.
Yep.
He felt the pressure and took a step back and wham, sack, boom. And I said to Jack and Emily, I was like, if he would have just taken a step forward, that guy goes right by him and he delivers the ball right over the middle. And that's exactly the little things that Bo Nix did from junior to senior year, right? And we saw the progression of how surgical he could be between those two. That's a great point in what he could do to get better between now and then.
But I think, you know, the ball comes off of his hand, and I think if he comes out, and I don't know if he does or not, I think he'll be the number one pick. I think Mendoza's going to get picked apart a little bit. I think he's an RPO guy. I think he's very rigid, and I think he's more of – he's a really smart guy that plays in a system and is well-coached. He knows how to play that system. That's not a system that works in the NFL. I think when you watch Dante Moore, I think people are – I just think if those are the two going head-to-head – I'll put a significant amount of money that Dante Moore goes ahead of Mendoza. I just love the way the ball comes off of his hands. And I think people forget, so he's got, what, 14 starts and I don't count any of the UCLA stuff, he's played 14 games. I think he's just scratching the surface of how good he can be. It's just a matter of whether he chooses to hone that craft in college or take $55 million and go be a top three pick.
Which is exactly why I posed the question back, is like, you know, what's the question about? Is it, what is his ceiling? What could his ceiling be in the NFL? It could be absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Cause Joey brought it up. We've seen the throw against Penn State in overtime. The throw to Washington, Benson in between four guys that broke the game up against Washington open. The throw against Iowa is the best. You won't find a better throw in college football all year.
No.
And so there are these moments. And when those moments become regular, when there's three or four of those a game, again, let's go back to the Texas Tech one. That ended up being a close game, obviously, for three quarters. If he recognizes that safety that's playing in the middle of the field, if he recognizes that safety is coming downhill, instead of, oh crap, there's a safety in the middle of the field, I can't throw the post. No, that safety's flat footed. If I put some air under this, I've got Sadiq.
Cut it loose.
He cuts it loose. That's a touchdown, and that game is over quicker. And we've seen him make that throw. See the one at Penn State. It's just, that's that recognition. And I think that only comes with time. You know, but
it's an interesting thing too, because being able to have that recognition or being able to have that experience for another year at the collegiate level and still being good and so much better than everybody else that you can say, oh, I see it. I get it. I learn, versus going to the NFL and having somebody's face mask in your jaw and having your job up for grabs and having a coaching staff waiting to get fired. Right. And trying to learn in that situation. Like, there's no guarantee that is going to, I mean, there's no guarantee that is going to turn into future success in the NFL, but those are the type of things that he can learn by coming back for another year in college.
Gee, I wonder who we could talk to on the show about that type of experience. okay. So,
but I played 5 years. So, you know, I was, it's a little bit different. That's why I kind of paused. I was like, well, but it's a little different because he's still young. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll hopefully we can get you on early next week, because obviously the game is on Friday. So we'll have the game and not you on Friday. Oh. So we'll get more into Indiana. But I just wanted your initial thought when you saw that Indiana clobbers Alabama, and now you're like, okay, Indiana rematch. What was your initial thought?
They're really good.
Too good?
They're too good now. No. Yeah. No, it's always tough to beat a team twice. And I think it's fair to say that they're the favorite to win the national championship. I think them being the favorite right now is a fair money line. Yeah. They've shown it, and you have to give them credit. Credit them for coming into Autzen and beating us. Credit them for beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. Credit them for absolutely boat racing Alabama in the Rose Bowl. You have to respect that. And at the same time, if Oregon's defense plays the way they did against Texas Tech, like, oh boy, we could have a good one there.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you ready for a Thursday hit next week?
Oh, Thursday. Oh, school's back. Yes. Yes, I can, I think, hopefully. Yes, yeah. We can do
it.
Why
not?
Kids
back in school. Let's do it.
Anything for you. Anything for you guys.
You're the best. All right. Thank you, Joey. Have a great weekend. Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mons PDX. The future of building is here. Yeah, we'll try to get him on Thursday.
Yeah.
Preview Indiana. And then the game, you know, of course, we'll have the game and all the pregame stuff and all that stuff.
I'm excited. And by the way, to beat Indiana.
I am too.
Like,
Great game.
Again, I was very complimentary there of Dante Moore, and I think Dante Moore is going to go really high in the draft. Dante Moore has to be a lot better against Indiana. I thought he was confused. I thought he was unsure of where he was going with the ball. And a lot of those sacks, not all of them, but a lot of those sacks were coverage. I don't know where to go with the ball.
See,
and Indiana will do that to people. And in order to beat Indiana, he has to, the second time around, see their fastball and adjust to it.
He does. But this is what worries me. Is, you know, you just heard Joey talk about the progression of a quarterback.
Yep.
And what, couple that with what you just said, realistically,
it's tough.
That doesn't happen. Like, it takes time.
It takes time.
It doesn't just happen overnight or in a week.
Nope.
Particularly against a defense as good as Indiana. Yep. That's what really scares me about this game.
Yep.
Is I'm just not sure Dante Moore is quite as good as he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not quite there yet in that evolution. And we saw that the first time they played.
Yes, and I totally see where you're coming from that, or where you're coming from on that. I would just hope that Will Stein and company, the second time around, will be like, we got fooled so many times. Let's not get fooled again. But Indiana has fooled just about everyone that they've played. That defense may not be as talented as Texas Tech's, but they're better disciplined, and they just don't make mistakes, and they hunt. And I love what Cignetti and company do over there.
Is it as simple as if Oregon can block? They can block that front line, they're going to win.
But it's not necessarily a blocking thing. Again, Indiana, it's a lot of confusion. To go back and look at some of their pressures, Indiana doesn't really blitz 6 and 7 guys. They'll bring four. They just bring four from where you don't think it's coming. So it's a matter of if they bluff you into thinking, hey, we're coming over here, and now we bring two off the edge, that guy's unblocked. I mean, that's where Indiana really specializes. Oh, hey, we're giving you a cover three look. Well, it's not cover three because we rotated our safeties. And they just are really good at, think what the NFL does. They make you pre-snap. The look is never what it appears to be. And so once the ball snapped, you have to be able to adjust to it. And Dante Moore was not able to adjust to what Indiana, and the offensive line too. The offensive line was not able to adjust to Indiana's looks. And then the run game just didn't really get going against them because it's really hard to run against Indiana.
Yeah, they're going to need the run game for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, more on that game next week. We move on to the club. Who won the most recent laying down competition? And how long could you stay laying down? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.